Technology forever changes our world, usually starting with science. Galileo's invention of the telescope sealed the fate of an anthropocentric universe. After the Jansens developed the microscope, Van Leeuwenhoek improved the device enough to reveal microorganisms. And of course, computers like those Bill Hewlett and David Packard first developed in a Palo Alto garage are now found in every lab. Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Velocity of Content. In our own time, robots and algorithms using artificial intelligence are becoming commonplace tools in research. AI is especially relevant where large volumes of data and information are processed, leading directly to the scholarly and scientific publishers that digest the data and produce even more of it. Following 18 months' work, the STM Association will release a white paper, Best Practice Principles for Ethical, Trustworthy, and Human-Centric AI, as part of the upcoming STM Spring Conference to be held online April 27th through the 29th. Joris van Rossum is STM's Director of Research Integrity. He joins me now from Amsterdam with a special preview of the report. Welcome to Velocity of Content, Joris.
Thank you, Chris.
Well, it's a pleasure to have an opportunity to speak with you about an issue that is of interest to researchers, to publishers, and indeed to the general public, as we see robots and artificial intelligence and algorithms so much a part of our own lives. And when it comes to AI, I think what STM has put its finger on is that in order for it to work in the way we all hope it will in research and science and technology, it has to be grounded in values and principles. Tell us about those.
Yeah, indeed. Let me first start by saying that indeed the potential for AI in science and research is huge. As you mentioned, technology always has played a big role in science. It's changed science from being observational to more experimental. As you said, the computer, we can't think of research anymore without a computer. And the enormous production of data in the last decades in combination with AI technology really, really promises to make science way more efficient. Some speak of so-called smart science, meaning that AI is not just testing hypotheses against vast amounts of data, but also create new hypotheses, developing new theories, exploring new connections, and determining unknown causes. But for that to happen, having sound principles and making sure that AI is applied in an ethical, trustworthy, and human-centric way is really crucial, as of course those are principles central to science itself.
Well, indeed they are. And the difference, as you point out with AI, is that it is more than just gathering the data, because the algorithms themselves can be made to make predictions, recommendations, even decisions about research or about other activities. And so AI is data with a difference, we could say.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think the advantage indeed is that, or the promise is that it can do a lot with data. The disadvantage is that it's quite obscure. So the algorithms are quite obscure, which means that we as publishers have to be very transparent, have to be transparent when it's used, how it's used, etc. So with that challenging nature of the technology also comes our responsibility to be transparent about it, how it's used, etc., and to make sure it's not misused or doesn't lead to consequences that are unintended and unwanted for.
And STM publishers, scientific, technical, medical publishers, they are both users and producers of data. For our listeners, Joris, tell us a bit about how those activities happen. How are publishers using AI today in their work?
Yeah, I think when we developed this report, we realized what a unique position we as publishers have. First of all, we are key providers of information and data and articles on which AI is run as input data and as training data. And this is, of course, we are really well designed to do so, having so much experience in curating data, selecting data, reviewing data, etc. So we are in a unique position to really provide high quality data. And as we all know, garbage in, garbage out, having the right data, having high quality data is really crucial for an efficient and a trustworthy application of AI. But second, we are also, publishers also increasingly using AI either developed in-house or supplied by third parties to support internal workflows and services for authors, editors, and reviewers. And that has actually been going on for quite a while. AI is being used in recommending journals to authors, uploading your abstract, and you get the right journals you should submit it to, recommending reviewers to editors, recommending content to readers, streamlining submissions by carrying out technical or language checks, and last but not least, helping authors to improve their English by means of artificial intelligence-supported tools. Another important element is plagiarism detection, of course, now being used ubiquitously by almost all publishers. And also we're seeing investigating how we can use AI to prevent fraud and data manipulation, for example. Third, there is actually a third way where we use AI, and it is in external facing tools and services, using to classify content, recommend data to external users, and bringing together related information from disparate sources. Fueled by AI, publishers are also increasingly serving as providers of analytics and insight. For example, insights in research trends or as input for R&D and identifying targets for drug development. So again, it is quite a unique position we have dealing with AI. And I should maybe add a fourth element, of course, that AI as a research, an area of research, we support that research by, of course, publications, articles, and books around the subject. So quite a close relation we have with that field.
Well, it's a close relationship and a complex one, and you've pointed out the various ways that it is. And so in order to arrive at some best practice principles, it has to gather up a lot of important considerations. And that was the work, part of the work that you and the group working on this STM Association white paper engaged in. And you've come up with five categories that you identify as being best practice principles for ethical and trustworthy AI. So tell us about those five categories.
Yeah, it's interesting that more and more of these principles are developed. So, for example, the European Union has provided an overview of best practice principles, the OECD as well. And the themes, I would say, overlap. So, for example, transparency and accountability is an important area where we define principles, quality and integrity, privacy and security, fairness and sustainable development. Everybody's thinking about, you know, these elements, important elements of trustworthy and ethical AI. But as I mentioned before, we as publishers, I think, bring specific perspectives to this, and hence also our work on this white paper.
And so following from transparency and accountability, the second principle is quality and integrity.
Indeed, yeah. So that's the core of what we do, of course. And one important element I already talked about, that is the data. So how do we make sure that the data that is used for AI is the right selected content? That is very important. Having wrong training data, having wrong input data can lead to a lot of unwanted consequences. We all know about racial biases, etc., that can arise because of AI. And here the publishers, of course, have an important role to play through creation, through ontologies, through peer review, but also through the creation of databases with selected content. We have the unique position to really ensure that people can select the right content for input. But of course, quality is relates to more of what we do. Think about the peer review process, for example, typically a process where we ensure that the quality, the published material is ensured. But also we can apply this peer review process, or let's say the quality cycle, to the use of AI itself as well. So I would say there are many levels where we can benefit on the work that academic publishers have done over the years.
Right. And we talk about data, Joris van Rossum, and it has this neutral quality to it. And yet it is, as you point out, far from always neutral. Data can be marshaled to all sorts of purposes. And that is because human beings are involved. There are human beings collecting the data. There is the data that the human beings themselves are producing. And so questions of privacy, even security, arise.
Yes, absolutely. So privacy and security is, of course, it's new. It's actually becoming the subject of new legislation around the world. And again, hence also very important for AI. So what we have developed is about is 10 best practice principles and operational steps to ensure respect for privacy and data protection when designing, developing, or using AI systems for data used and generated by the AI system throughout the lifecycle. So in this white paper, we developed this 10 principles that indeed ensure that privacy is secured, a crucial element of a trustworthy AI as well.
Fairness comes up as one of the principles here, one of the five best practice principles. What do we mean by fairness? What kind of fairness are we thinking about? Fairness in terms of equity? What other concerns?
Yeah, this is a very interesting aspect. And I think to understand the fairness in relation to AI, we have to, again, remember what AI does. AI basically strengthens existing patterns. It looks at data, it looks at the past, and based on that, it makes recommendation or it makes predictions. But that means that existing patterns can be strengthened. And that is a risk. That entails a risk and that we have to be aware of, and hence also the principles that try to counter those risks. So let's say if I am an author from a well-known institution and I submit a paper to a journal, let's assume that a journal uses AI to predict whether my manuscript is going to be is of high quality. What AI then does is looks like on aspects like where do I come from what institution, from what country. If my colleagues from the same institution or my same country have been successful, AI can make the conclusion, oh, that's probably an author that will be successful. And that is, of course, very, very risky, because then it strengthens the patterns, which means that people don't get a fair chance. If I come from a country which has traditionally not been very successful, it's going to be more difficult for me to get published. And that is something we absolutely have to prevent as publishers. And that's why we really have to think about what data we use, but also in what processes we apply AI. But also it has a more, I would say, a deeper risk. And that is that if you look at it more broadly, AI tends to consolidate historical structures, which includes established scientific ideas and theories. But as the philosopher Thomas Kuhn has argued, scientific breakthroughs are characterized by replacing paradigms with new ones. And you used Galileo yourself in the introduction. I think that's a very good example. So the risk of using a technology that looks at existing patterns to make predictions, recommendations, or decisions means that it can suppress the opportunity for new ideas to emerge, and thereby stifling innovations and scientific breakthroughs. And of course, as partners for science and for scientists, this is something we as publishers have to prevent. And hence, we have to be really careful, and which is described in the principles, when and how we apply this technology in a publishing process.
And AI, artificial intelligence, it's characteristic of our century, of our 21st century, as well as characteristic of this time, is concerns around sustainability and the proper way to develop economically and the use of resources. How does that factor in? How does the final consideration of best practice principles, sustainable development, factor into AI considerations?
Yeah, I would say indeed, as you say, so AI has a crucial role to play in maximizing we have a role to play to maximize the benefit of AI to human health. Of course, that's the core of what publishers do, of course. We improve science, and thereby we hope we improve the society at large. So again, this fits, I would say, in the general goal of science and hence of publishers. Very important, however, is that policymakers and research funders should create incentives for providers of key input data. Having high-quality data, having curated data, again, such a crucial component of trustworthy and ethical AI, really depends on quality data. And that means we need incentives. We need incentives for people to produce the data, to create the data, to store the data. And that's also part of the recommendation we put down in the white paper. And next to that, of course, we have to make sure that AI is used efficiently, preferably with renewable energy, and it should be sustainable. But again, for that to happen, we need incentives to ensure that we keep making the investments crucial for a correct application of artificial intelligence.
Well, I have to compliment you, Joris van Rossum, because your explanation of this white paper, Best Practice Principles for Ethical, Trustworthy, and Human-Centric AI, has been exceedingly clear to me, and I am hardly an expert in this field. And I think that's the trouble, isn't it, finally, that the subject of AI, we all hear about it, we all recognize it, but there is a great deal of opacity to it all. It is such a complex field. Understanding of it is really challenging, but it's critical moving forward.
Absolutely. And again, maybe let's indeed end with what we started with. The potential is huge. If you think about what machines can do and could do, plowing through enormous, vast amount of data, coming up with new hypotheses, doing so much more than human beings can do themselves. We like the saying creative individuals and smart computers, and it should support researchers, and it shouldn't, of course, take over the entire process. But as you say, it's opaque, it's difficult. That's why we need to think carefully how and where we apply it. But also we need feedback loops. We need to work with the users. We need to work with all the various actors in the ecosystem to make sure that once things happen that we don't intend or that are, again, doesn't contribute positively to science in general, we need feedback loops where that can be addressed and corrected. So it's going to be a continuous development. AI, of course, is also in development. It's not a settled technology. It will, and it's expected to evolve significantly. And hence also, our principles are not intended to be exhaustive, but rather to contribute to the ongoing discussion and to make sure that we move forward, but move forward in a responsible way, taking into account all the benefits, all the promises, but also the risks, and doing that, I would say, with all the participants in our ecosystem.
Joris van Rossum, Director of Research Integrity for the STM Association. Thank you for joining me today on Velocity of Content.
Thank you.
Our co-producer and recording engineer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. You can subscribe to this program wherever you go for podcasts and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. I'm Christopher Keneally. Thanks for listening. Join us again soon for another Velocity of Content podcast from CCC.